Will in your Bibles to Matthew, Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, let's read in verse 35. The Bible says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send but out laborers to the harvest.'" Let us pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you've allowed us to come into your house this morning. And Lord, right now we've just come through a 4th of July weekend when we've celebrated our nation's 243 years. And Heavenly Father, today we ask that your Holy Spirit convict us where we need to be convicted. Lord, may we see how to reach people for Christ, how to reach this nation for Christ, if we're to continue on. And God, we give you the praise. For it's in Christ's special, precious name we pray. Amen. Years ago, Theodore Roosevelt said these words, "The things that destroy America is prosperity at any price." Folks, that's what destroys our nation. Peace at any price. Living softly in the world. Taking things easy in life. And the get rich quick. You see, those things destroy not only America, it destroys people. And we are celebrating 243 years, I believe, birth of our nation. Is America as we know it? And man, I tell you what, we look around and I wonder, are we going to survive? Is it silently reposed upon her deathbed awaiting those icy fingers of death to carry her off like many nations before? You see, is this nation too young to die? Or is there hope? Is there salvation for our country? Is there salvation for our country? Now, if we compare America with some of the ancient civilizations in the world, we're just like a baby crawling along the floor of time. But yet, those nations and those civilizations have all died. Those icy fingers of death choked them out. Now, we know that the Roman Empire was a great power, and yet it collapsed and it fell and it died. Even as strong as they were, as they had taken over civilization after civilization, and the rapid increase of their own empire soon destroyed it from within. And their symptoms in their life and in their civilization that we see in our country today. And things that destroy our nation is the undermining of the home. The home, the collapse of the husband and wife and children. Those things destroy nations. The rise of a extravagant spending and living destroy nations. And the moral decay of the people, oh, that's a real enemy that destroys a nation. And to fail to realize that the real enemy lies within us, our own country, and the decay of religion leaves our churches without the right moral guide. Now, wouldn't you agree that America today has reached the limit in all five of these things that destroyed Rome and will eventually destroy America unless there is the salvation of America by the grace of God? That's the only way we'll survive. Now, I just turned on the news for a little while the last couple of weeks as I was thinking about these things. You know, I always, I just lost my scripture. Well, it doesn't matter. You've already heard it. I have turned on the television and I see these headlines. Mother kills her children. Father takes daughter and kills her. Throws her out on the side of a highway. Man, you know, children killed by drive-by shootings. You hear it on the television all the time, don't you? Our churches have become places that are targeted by extremists on every hand. You see, we stand, I believe, as a country, we stand as a nation at the crossroads in time, and we look one way, and we look at one way. The Bible says that road leads us towards God, to Christianity. A new awakening, as what we would call it today, where we come to realize that we as a country must and people must turn our lives around and get back to God, or yet the devil is at the other crossroad, and if we turn that way, he's smiling from ear to ear, knowing that we too are going the wrong way. You see, an awakening sounds like the worship of a holy God. Well, it is. We need that kind of awakening. Where I'll preach next week on prayer. Brother Teddy told me that he will sing songs on prayer, and we told that scripture a while ago, if my people who are called by my name, you see, will humble themselves and pray. Man, we need that, don't we? We need to get back on our knees before God, and we must choose that right road, that right path in life if we're going to turn our country around. Those two great forces are at war with each other. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the devil himself. The humanist agenda. We see so many times today in our country where there's a thought of you do what you want to. It's your life. You know, when we've just been seeing on television this thing of abortion where it's all right, or they want to say it's all right to have a child and then you can put it to sleep. Oh, that's so sad. Have we come that low in our country that we would believe something like that? But yet, that is what people are trying to tell us. And in order to defeat Satan and ensure that we have salvation in our country, we must follow these basic principles of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said this, People must be seen. People must be seen. When Jesus saw the people coming, what did the Bible say? He had eyes of compassion for them. He loved people. Our Lord and Savior loved people. He cared for people. No matter who they were, He had a feeling for people that were lost, that were outside of Christ, that were sinners. The Bible says He came to save sinners. Therefore, today, Christ wants you to come to Him. He wants to give you life, like the woman at the well we talked about this morning. He wants to give you that living water where you can have life, where you won't thirst again. Someone asked me the other day, "Are you happy?" And I said, "You bet I'm happy. I am happy in Christ Jesus." I was talking to the heart doctor, and somebody said, "You don't have a heart." And I said, "You know what? You're right. I gave mine to Jesus a long time ago." Amen. I hope you've given your heart to Jesus Christ. And if you haven't given your heart to Jesus Christ, today is that day of salvation where you can come and say, "Lord, I want to give you my heart. I want to give you everything about me so that I can have that spring of water swelling up inside so that I know what it is to be happy." You know, we look at this whole world today and there's so many people, we say, "Well, they've got everything. Why are they sad?" Well, having everything don't make you happy. You only need Jesus Christ to be happy. He is our hope. He is our joy. But if we're ever to see people, if we're ever to find people that are lost, we always must have a willing to see them and have compassion on them. You see, we don't have to love the sin, but we need to love the sinner. We need to hear them in their cry and know that their life is being attacked by the devil. Oh, we need to help them overcome that. And folks, that is something that Jesus Christ wanted to do in the Bible as he talked to people. Whole areas of people today live their lives withdrawn from the very control and the very influence of a church today. You know, when I was a kid growing up, we did everything around our local church. How many of you did that? Boy, you're showing your age now. But you know, that's right. The church was the center of our community. Well, in our community, that's about all it was, church. But you know, we loved the church. We cared for the church. When there was work days at the church, everybody showed up, and they worked at the church. Listen, we had Methodist, we had Church of Christ, we had the Pentecostal. It didn't matter. Man, if you was to help somebody, we helped each other. You see, my daddy was a Methodist and Baptist both. Boy, he was a mess. But you know what? He would work on the Pentecostal church just as well as he would work on the Baptist church if they needed help. You know, we loved God. And that compassion for people, it crosses those boundaries, you see. And we love one another. Now, we must do that if we're going to see people brought to Jesus Christ. Now, how far has this reached? Statistics show that 75% of the people in America say that they believe in Jesus Christ. And yet our moral climate denies the fact that we love Jesus Christ. If you ask people out on the street, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" or "Do you go to church?" "Oh yeah, I'm a believer." But yet they do not go to church, they do not pray. They live like the ungodly people live. Oh, let me tell you something. We need to not only see the lost people, we need to see our church people and have compassion and love for them. For if we are ever to defeat Satan, we need to begin to see our people like Jesus Christ sees people. You know how He sees people? He says, "I see them lost," hear His words, "as sheep having no shepherd to lead them. People need somebody to lead them. They need you and I as Christians to love them, to help them, to guide them in the right way of living. Listen to me. When you leave this building today, the work is only started, folks. There is a mission field out there in America today. Outside these doors, we become foreign missionaries because the world does not know Christ. And the world does not know you as a believer. And you must love that world. You must try to get them into Christ and have compassion on them and love them where they're at and try your best to reach them for Christ. That woman at the well, man, she was a mess. She had five husbands and one, you know. And what would if Jesus would have said, man, she's too bad to deal with. I don't want to be seen talking to her. That's not what he said. He said, woman, give me a cup of cold water. Oh, let me tell you something. He had compassion on her, and he began to tell her about who he was and what he had to offer. You see, we must see people and have compassion on them. We must love people. 40% of all Americans, I believe, regularly attend church. And yet, our baptisms in our country, our churches are on the decline for the past 50 years. We've been going downhill. Why has the church lost its ability to love? It's because we do not have compassion on people. We don't have compassion on sinners. And we do not hate sin. Folks, we ought to really hate sin. Get away with it. Get away from it. Don't entertain it. Do you tolerate it? Think about it. Do you tolerate sin? Think about that. In verse 36, it says, Jesus was moved with compassion for their lives. Now the Pharisees, the religious group in those days, saw the crowd just as the chaff to be chastened, to be punished. You see? They saw the opportunity. And so many times we do the same thing. We see people that are living their life in sin, and oh, we become judge, just like the Pharisees. And we begin to judge them. And we begin to build ourselves up like the Pharisees. Oh, I'm better than they are. I'm glad I'm not like one of them. And we push them away from us, and we push ourselves away from them. Because we think somehow or another we're better than they are. And if it wasn't for the love of God and the grace of God, we'd be in the same boat that they're in. Folks, we must learn to love people. You see, Jesus saw them differently from the Pharisees. He saw them as a harvest, the Bible says, that was ripe for the kingdom of God. He said, man, there's a group of people, they need the kingdom of God. Let's give it to them. Let's tell them about Jesus Christ. The Pharisees looked at them and said, they're doomed for destruction. And let them go. And Jesus says, no. Let's seek to restore them. Let's seek to bring them into the kingdom of God. And in America, folks, we must reach out to the lost. We must make that great commission our mission, where we are willing to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and even here at home, tell the people about Jesus Christ. I know there's a lot of unlovable people around. I have been run out of homes. I've been called everything in the book, you know. But I still love them. I still pray for them. When I go to a house and I knock on a door and someone comes and slams the door in my face, I just want to pray for them. Lord, if it wasn't for your grace and your goodness, you know, that would be me. And Lord, if you will, just open their heart to let them realize. You know, I had a guy put a gun up at me one time and told me to get out of his yard and don't ever come back. Well, I was smart enough not to. But you know what? Me and old boy Marty Woodruff, I don't know where Marty is nowadays, but he may be with the Lord, I don't know. But Marty and I prayed for that guy. We got out of his yard, got out on the highway, and we stopped and we prayed for that guy. And you know what? The next week, his wife came to church because she was so embarrassed about the way he treated the preacher. And you know what? Her mom and dad, or his mom and dad, came to church because they were ashamed of the way their son was acting, and they all got saved. All except that boy. I don't know if he ever did. But you know what? He had the opportunity. You see, he had the opportunity. I never will forget that. Marty said, man, prayer works, don't it, preacher? And I said, it sure does. You see, the Bible says without Jesus Christ, we should all perish. For the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us were sinners. Every single one of us. Jesus tells us to love one another. And we need to view people as the way Jesus Christ viewed them as a sheep or without a shepherd. And we need to guide them. That's what a shepherd does. We need to guide them into the fold. We need to lead them. You see, Jesus says people must be seen, people must be loved, and then he says people must be reached. We must reach out to them. Let me tell you something. Simply seeing people in their lost condition is not enough. It's real easy to come in here and listen to the preacher on Sunday morning. It's real easy to sit in comfortable pews and say, well, preacher, we love them. We'll pray for them. But when it's not as easy to take time out of your busy day and go out into where they are and cultivate them for Christ. It's not easy to do in that. And let me tell you something. You know, just because you don't reach them, don't give up. You may never reach that person, but don't give up. So many people go one time and say, oh, well, it didn't work out like I thought it would. People didn't come to know Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, preacher, they didn't even want me to knock on their door. They told me to get out of there. Well, let me tell you something. How many of you like to fish? I love it, man. How many of you like to hunt? My arm's still up. I love that too. If I told you about the times that I went out and caught fish, compared to the times that I went out and didn't catch any fish, I'd have never gone back after that first time. But you know, you're just like me. You will go out there and you'll cast that rod and reel, that lure out there, 1,000 times probably. And you might not catch a fish all day. But you'll tell me, oh man, we had fun out there. And if you catch one little old perch, size of a minnow, you come back, you brag about it. That big one, preacher, got away. Oh, I caught one the other day. It was so big I couldn't haul him in. He got off. I never did see him, but he was huge. He was huge. Probably the biggest fish in that lake Tom saw him, I didn't. He was that long. If I told you about the times that I've gone hunting and never pulled the trigger to shoot anything, it would outnumber the times that I have gone. But I still go. It's the same way with reaching people. If you really love the Lord, and if you really love people, you're going to go, and you're going to keep on going, because that is what God has placed in your heart. A love for people to come out of the darkness into the marvelous light, to get a hold of a drink of that precious water that they'll never thirst again, to pull them out of the pits of hell and send them on their way to eternal life with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, people need to be reached. And let me tell you something. A Christianity that does not cost anything and does nothing and suffers nothing, it's not worth much, is it? When God calls us to serve, man, He calls us to leave the comforts of home. He calls us to get out there into the world and reach them for Jesus Christ. You see, everything about the church today says we're soft. It's kind of like America. We want victory without any struggle. I tell you what, these people that, everybody today, let me just say this, everybody today wants everything, but they don't want to work for it. Man, if I offer, somebody comes to me and says, I need something, and I say, well, would you go out here and do that? Well, I just can't do that. You don't want it very bad. You see, I told somebody the other day, I told my doctor today, he said, you work hard, don't you? I said, I have worked hard ever since I turned 12 years old. And even before that, I learned to slop the pigs and everything else. I told him I was, those old sows, we had over 1,000 hogs, and I, without getting too gruesome, as they had their pigs, you had to wipe them off with towels and stuff and cut their umbilical cord and tie that cord and put them under a heat lamp, or that old sow would turn around and eat one of them. And let me tell you, I was doing that when I was 8, 9 years old, because Daddy told us to. He had to work at a job, and we had to do what we had to do to raise those hogs. And let me tell you, it did not hurt me one bit. And I appreciated when I was able to get a job. You know, we didn't make much back then. Some of y'all made even less. You're older than I am. But I tell you what, I was happy when I got 15 cents a hour. Boy, when I got 25 cents an hour, I thought I was rich. I went to a show one time, I never will forget it. It cost a quarter to get into the show. I walked up to the window and I said, ma'am, you got change for a 50? She said, what? A $50 bill? I said, no, 50 cents. She said, I done thought you was rich, young guy. I said, well, I am rich. I got 50 cents. Man, I can go to the show 3 times on that and get a soda pop and a, you know what a soda pop is? And a bag of popcorn and have plenty left over. But folks, let me tell you something. Today, nobody wants to work and everybody wants everything. It just don't work that way. You cannot have victory without a struggle. You cannot have peace without a sacrifice. And that's what we celebrate. There's a lot of lives, a lot of boys, a lot of ladies that lost their life that we could come here today and preach and serve Christ. Man, let me tell you something. It did not come cheap. Salvation is not cheap. It costs Christ His only begotten Son who died upon the cross that we might have life. And everybody today wants salvation without any conviction. It just don't happen that way. Forgiveness comes when we fall on our face before a holy God and confess, Lord, I am a sinner and I need you. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, won't you humble yourself and come like a little child and say, Lord, I want you as my Lord and Savior. I want to give my heart to you. I want what you have. That's all you have to do. By faith. He said, if you'll trust Him, He will send His Holy Spirit and seal your life. Oh, what joy there is knowing Jesus Christ. In order to save America, folks, and reach America for Jesus Christ, we must seek people. We must love people, and we must labor. The Bible says the harvest is plenty, but the labors are few. People, there's an old song that used to say, people need the Lord. People need the Lord. Never be satisfied. I'm never satisfied with the status quo. Oh, well, we're doing better than a lot of people. That doesn't make any difference. We ought to do the best. Listen to this poem. I've read it here before. An old man going along a highway came at evening, cold and gray, to a chasm vast and deep and wide. The old man crossed in the twilight. The sullen stream had no tears for him. He turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. A young man saw him and said, old man, you're wasting your time by building here. You'll never pass this way again. Your journey will end at the closing day. You have crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why are you building a bridge at the evening tide? The builder lifted his old gray head. Good friend, in the way that I've come, he said, there followeth after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. The stream has been a naught for me, but to the fair-haired youth it might be a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building this bridge for him. You see, Jesus Christ passed this way. The Lord so loved the world that He gave His Son to die on the cross because we were sinners. And by His dying on the cross, He bridged the gap that we could not cross that chasm wide and get to the other side. But oh, Christ, when He died, He made it possible for you and I to come to the other side. All you have to do today is realize that, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need you. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you died for me and I want you to come live within my life. Jesus said, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Folks, would you give your heart to Him? I did years ago. He's never disappointed me. I know I've disappointed Him. But oh, how sweet to walk with my friend Jesus, my Lord and Savior, who died for me on Calvary. Would you come to Him today? Maybe you're here and you're already saved and you know you're saved. You know you gave your heart to Jesus. But you know, you haven't lived like you should. You haven't really been out there loving people. You see, you've been judgmental towards people. Wouldn't you say, today, Lord, I want to confess that. And I want to love people. I want to see them as sheep lost without a shepherd. I want to lead them. I want to guide them to that precious salvation. Won't you come and just recommit your life to Him? And then you might be here looking for a church home, and this is the place God has led you. Would you come? I'll be glad to share with you how you can join our church. It's not hard. Won't embarrass you in any way, form, or fashion. I just want you to be right with God. If we're ever to have an America that believes in God and trusts God, it starts right here on your knees before Him. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, today there's people here that our lives are mixed up. Lord, we've run to and fro. And yet, Lord, we come here today and your Holy Spirit is speaking to our heart. Lord, I pray today that they'll just step out. Doesn't matter who. Lord, and just make that decision to give their life to you, to work for you. Whatever decision they need to make, Lord, let them make that today. Don't let them go out of these doors empty. And we'll give you the praise. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.